All right. Well, I'd like for us to look at some verses in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's the Old Testament. In my Bible, at the beginning of the book, it says Ecclesiastes, or the preacher. There's many things that Ecclesiastes says that seems to be above and beyond the realm of maybe our everyday life. So I'd like for us to try to get a hold of something here this morning. Been meditating on this for a week or so. And usually what happens when I have a passage of Scripture that I have a long period of time to meditate about is I get more than one message out of it. So I'm not going to be able to share everything that's on my heart this morning. But I'd like for us to begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I would like to look beginning verse 9. It says, "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God." So I'd like to stop there for a moment and realize that the preacher here, as the book of Ecclesiastes is kind of interpreted as, is saying that he's the man that says, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity." But he says, "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?" That's verse 9. So what good is our work doing? What does it really benefit us? Most all of us here know what it means to have a job, an occupation, duties, responsibilities. We know the requirements that come with that. There's things that we have to meet a level of expectation to stay in favor and stay out of trouble, per se, on our job. But he says, "What profit hath he that worketh and wherein he laboreth?" Sometimes our occupations become just a job, and it becomes a grind. And even if it's something that we have enjoyed to do, some of us here have followed one trade most all of our life. I'm one of those. And there's times that I've come home and said, "I wonder if there's an opening for me to just sack groceries," something that would take much less mental power, and I don't have to cultivate any skills except just don't put the eggs and the bread on the bottom of the sack. You know, I think I could handle that. But by and large, the reason that I still work in the same field that I do is because I enjoy what I do. I find in fulfillment in that. And we could probably go around the room and every one of us here would say, "I've had those days where maybe grocery sacking looks like a good job." But by and large, if you stay doing something for any length of time at all, there's something about it that causes you to be fulfilled. The preacher said here, what profit is there in the work? He said, I've seen the travail, I've seen the troubles that have come, that God has allowed to come in the sons of men to be exercised, the tests and the trials of everyday life. I've seen that, he said. I know that there's, no matter how much you enjoy whatever you're doing, and if your job was trained in horses, I know somebody that has that as a job. It sounds pretty euphoric, doesn't it? To just train horses, that sounds, but I would say there's times they wish they could just be sacking groceries too. I know I would, because training horses is not something that I've ever really thought I wanted to do. He says, I know there's no good in them. He's talking about his work, his effort. I know there's no good in them. He's getting a little glimpse here that there's something bigger about life than just going to work. But for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, there's benefit in that, but there's something bigger than that, he says. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You know, God give us a gift to be able to work, to provide, to have fulfillment. Verse 10 said, or verse 11 maybe, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God has, He said here, has set the world in their heart. I really don't believe He's talking about setting sinful appetites in men's hearts. But God has designed us as humanity to be able to receive a level of fulfillment in everyday life. Okay? There's something about a man's activity that brings fulfillment to him. And there's something about a woman's activities that brings fulfillment to her. It's because God put that in you. And we have to be exercised in those things to reach a level of fulfillment. There's things that are required, and as our society and our culture is, it's many things are defined by our culture and our society. I mean, I think that men and women both would find, if we could time travel back, in this country, if we could go back to, like right here where we live, Missouri became a state, I believe, in 1820, if I remember correctly. And if we could go back before statehood, maybe 1800, that's 222 years ago. And if we could travel back and live where we live right now, 222 years ago, 23 years ago, I know there's a tree on my place that was a pretty good sized tree back then. It's a real big tree now, but it was alive back then because it's really big. And but, you know, our living circumstances would be different. We probably wouldn't have any glass on the windows. You ever thought about that? We might not have much of a lock on the door to lock the door when we went out. We probably wouldn't have any canned goods in the pantry. Wouldn't have a refrigerator. Wouldn't have any source of heat. You know, what we would determine as clean in the house would be different than we do now. And there wouldn't be any cars for me to fix. That's before they invented those things. There'd be work for me to do. And there'd be work for my wife to do. And so society and culture has changed a lot in the last 220 some years. And many things are defined right now. One of the things that's a little bit of a trial on my wife, she's being pretty nice about it, is that her oven don't work. It's electric. You know, she can program it to come on when she's not there and all that kind of stuff. She wouldn't have had that 223 years ago, and she wouldn't know that she didn't need to have one of those. She wouldn't be dissatisfied because she wouldn't have known that there's such a thing that ever could exist. Heated seats in your car, you wouldn't know about that either back then. But he's put the world in our hearts. He's put a level, we get satisfaction, and we realize there's requirements. Right now, if I told my wife, you know, honey, 220 years ago, they didn't have convection ovens. You was doing good to have a fireplace to cook in. I think you ought to be happy just the way you are. You know, we'd have some conflict. There's some requirements that she has today because of when we live that is different than it would be back then. And I'm not saying that she's wrong. It's just there's requirements that we would have for life to continue on and for us to feel fulfilled. The world, you see, is in our hearts. It's how we're geared. It's how we've developed as time has went on. But that's not all the writer said here. Let's go down to another verse or two. It says in verse 14, I know that. I know and kind of understand and kind of can grasp. And I can kind of understand how people can reach a level of fulfillment and enjoyment in just everyday things. Because I do. I know that, the preacher said. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now we're going to shift gears a little bit. I know that whatever God does, it's going to be forever. I don't know how long Anita and I is going to live, but convection ovens might go the way of 8-track tape players. I have no idea. There was a time that an 8-track tape player was the thing to have. Not anymore. Not unless it's in a museum. And there may be a time that convection ovens is a thing of the past. Who would want one of those things? Who wants an 8-track tape player? But the things of God is forever. It's not 8-track tapes. It's not convection ovens. It's not smartphones. But what he does is perpetual. He said, whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that man should fear before him. There is something about coming to realize that what God is in the business of doing is intimidating to us. I don't know exactly how God can accomplish all his purpose, but I'm going to tell you, it's bigger than I am. And I know that he wants to reach the hearts of mankind, and he wants them to turn to him, and he wants all of mankind to be part of his plan. Even though we all are designed to have a level of fulfillment in our everyday lives. It says, verse 15. This is kind of philosophical. He says, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, what does that mean? He said, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath been already been. I don't know how you would describe forever any better than that. Forever. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. That means it went beyond, it was there before mankind ever had anything to be fulfilled with. And it's going to still be there after my 8-track tapes and my convection ovens and everything else that brings me fulfillment today. It's still going to be there. Because why? It's something that God has in mind. So notice the last part of this verse. And God requireth that which is past. What does God require? And what is that which is past? We all live since the beginning. You know, we go down the road sometimes and we see a business establishment, and it seems like they start advertising this after they've been in business for several decades or something, but they'll put the name of the business and below it, it'll say since and a year. You've all seen that. Walmart hadn't started doing that, but you can look it up and see when they got started. But hardware stores and other places, a lot of time, even sometimes service businesses, you know, plumbers and electricians and those kind of things, they may say, so-and-so's this business since 1927 or whatever it is. Put a date on it. Well, all of us has been since the beginning. The beginning is the past. And I want us to think just a moment. What was it like in the beginning? Really, what was it like? What was it like to have fellowship with God like Adam and Eve had in the very beginning? The writer, the preacher said here, remember that's what Ecclesiastes is the preacher. The preacher said, God requireth that which is past. I know we all get fulfillment out of our everyday life, and I think we should. There's a level of fulfillment that I have when my little grandson comes to running to me with a big smile. God put that in me. God put that in us to look on little children and receive a level of fulfillment. He put it in me to get a level of fulfillment. It's beyond the pain, the sore muscles. It's beyond all of that, the mistakes or anything else. There's a level of fulfillment that comes from accomplishment. Whether it's putting down hardwood floors or hearing that thing start for the first time or training that horse or baking that pastry or whatever it is, there's a level of fulfillment. But God requires that which is past. So my burden that I won't have time to really get started on this morning is God's requirements. He says, God requireth that which is past. What does God want from me? He wants fellowship, doesn't he? Doesn't he want to come down in the cool of the evening and dwell with us? And what's required to have that kind of fellowship? I remember the first time that maybe I was mature enough to realize that there were requirements in life. I know there was requirements on me before this time, but I remember when I was in the eighth grade, and the way our school district was set up, when you went from the eighth grade to the ninth grade, you went to a different town, and we did something they called enrollment for high school. And up and through the eighth grade, we didn't have much of any choice as to what classes we were put in. It was just, here's your schedule. This is how it's going to be. But high school, we actually had some choices, they said. And we see the curriculum and all the classes that was available. And then the disappointment came. Most of that was off limits to me as a freshman, as a ninth grader going in, because to take some of those classes, there was requirements. You know, I looked as going into the ninth grade, I thought, you know, I know physics. I think that would be interesting. I'd really like to be in a physics class. Well, I can't take physics because I hadn't had Algebra 2. And I can't take Algebra 2 because I hadn't had Algebra 1. And I realized there's no way for me to take physics until at least my junior year. I got to be in the 11th grade. I can't do that. And I can't flunk out on Algebra 1 or Algebra 2, either one. I've got to get both of those under my belt with a passing grade before I can ever enroll in physics. And I can't take chemistry without having those other prerequisites too. Because chemistry, you know, they get to mix stuff together and see smoke come out of the tube and stuff. That's what I wanted to do, but I can't get there. I had to take some other classes first, you see. There was requirements. And the realization that there was requirements before I could take the classes I really wanted to take was a little daunting at the time. And this scripture said, God requireth that which is past. God wants the level. This is what I want us to go home with today. God wants the level of fellowship and interaction and companionship that he had with Adam and Eve. He wants that with you. He don't want to be God way off somewhere. He wants to be God your father. God your friend. He wants to have a relationship with you to where when he comes to talk to you, you won't be hiding in the bushes. Remember, that's what sin did, was cause Adam and Eve to go hide in the bushes. And he don't want that. He wants to be a God that's not only someone that we look up to, but he wants to be at a level to where we're openly inviting him to be part of our life every day. You know, Adam and Eve, we find out because when sin came in, we find out that it was God's custom to come down in the cool of the evening to walk and to talk with them in the garden. Do you know there was something in Adam and Eve that got fulfillment about tending to the garden? They didn't have convection ovens. And they didn't have the internet. And they didn't have asphalt shingles on their roof and glass in the window panes. I believe they were very intelligent, capable people in the beginning. But I believe Adam and Eve received fulfillment from tending to the garden. But there was something else. There was something else. They had a fellowship with God the Creator. And God requires that which is past. God wants to be in your life like He was in Adam and Eve's life. He wants that fellowship to be restored to where we can look forward, just like I believe in a healthy home, the mother should be instructing the children, let's get ready. Daddy is going to be home from work just real soon. Maybe she's fixing dinner, and maybe the children need to pick up some clutter or whatever, but Daddy's going to be home. And when Daddy comes home, there is a level of excitement because it's instilled in them to look forward to that. We ought to have that kind of excitement, if you will. That kind of perspective that God is going to be visiting with me today. Maybe it's in the first thing in the morning, and maybe it's in the evening. But we're looking and we're hungry for that kind of interaction. Instead of God, when you mention God's name, you want to duck under the bench, or you want to get behind the door, or you want to, you know, that's what sin does. And that's what the wickedness in our world does. It causes people to be fearful of God. But God wants us, He requires that which is past. He wants to have a level of fellowship with us like He had with Adam and Eve before sin entered into the garden. He wants us to be open to His visitation at the spur of a moment. You know, I want you all to feel free to call me anytime. If I don't answer, it's not because I don't want to talk to you. It's because maybe my phone's turned off or something else is preventing me from that. But I want to be available. And I don't want you to be fearful if I call you. We want to have that kind of fellowship and that kind of relationship. So I would like to get in. Not today. We spent too much time on this, but I'd like to get into what's the requirements. I'll stand here and tell you that I learned a lot, but I also enjoyed physics when I finally got there. I learned why things work the way they do a lot. And if that my high school would have offered physics too, I would have taken it. I would have took another year. And if they had offered it in the summer school, I never went to summer school, but it had been tempting to go to summer school if they had had physics again. Because I enjoyed that class. There was things that I've been able to apply and been able to get my head around and grasp in life that it's been important to me. And it makes it's part of the world, I guess, the fulfillment that I've been blessed to have in life is to have a concept. I'm not a physicist, okay? But I enjoyed physics. I enjoyed the things I learned there. And I was glad I had the requirements in place, because if you're in physics and you can't do algebra too, you're in trouble. I remember the first day of class, and the teacher said, "We're here for physics. And if you haven't had algebra 2, you're going to be in trouble." The teacher said, I can't stop my class to teach you Algebra 2. But you're going to find out you needed algebra to be able to handle physics because of the formulas and because of solving the things that you had to do in physics. You know, the Lord has some requirements, prerequisites, if you will, to be able to meet His requirement of the thing that's past. It's still here. It's forever. He wants to have a relationship with mankind as long as time exists. Yes, He wants to have a relationship with mankind. When eternity begins after life on here, on the earth is done, He wants to have a relationship with you. Well, I hope you got the idea. Come back and we'll talk about this again. You pray for me.